Megillah Daf Yud Gimel. We're starting on the bottom of Yud Beis Amud Beis with Ish Yehudi. Here in the second half of the first perek of the Masechta, Gemara has been darshaning many of the psukim of the Megillah itself. Since Daf Yud, the Gemara started its drashas, and basically we went through the first perek in yesterday's Daf. Today's Daf, we're going to be going through a good number of psukim here in the second perek of the Megillah, and v'chule v'chule, and then we continue from there. So Ish Yehudi, as we continue now in the Gemara, so an introduction to Mordechai. As we know, in the second parak, after having dismissed, dispensed, and most probably killed his first wife, Vashti, so Ahasuerus now is in search for a new wife. He is doing a search of all the women in Shushan. The Gemara yesterday opened up with a drasha regarding the silly manner in which Ahasuerus collected all the women, versus the much wiser way that David HaMelech did so. Gemara now is going to be darshaning the pasuk regarding Ish Yehudi. This is now Perek Bey's pasuk Hey of the Megillah. Ish Yehudi, Ish Yehudi, Ayah B'Shoshana B'Rosh, Mor Mordechai, Ben Yair, Ben Shimi, Ben Kish, Ish Yemini. So Gemara now is going to be noting a number of seemingly discrepancies within the pasuk. So my Ka'amar, the Gemara wants to know, what is the intent of the pasuk? Ili Chusik Ha'asef, it's there for the purposes of lineage. So let it go all the way back to Binyamin. So Ella Maishnahani. So why specifically these names? So Tanakula Nashma Nikro. So the Gemara, of course, the Brisa says that really all descriptions of Mordechai himself. Ben Yair Ben Shehir, a name shall Yisrael B'tzilah. So he enlightened the Jewish people with his tefillas. Ben Shemi Ben Sheshama El Tefillah. So. And the idea that he's Shim'i comes from the word that he can hear, or specifically, Kadosh Baruch Hu listened to his tefillos. And Ben Kishi, Kish al Sha'arei Rachamim. And that he knocked, the word Kish coming from the word Nakshi, Kish al Sha'arei Rachamim, he knocked on the gates of heaven. Basically, all three of them are speaking to the idea that Mordechai has a koach tefillah. The Gemara now notes the discrepancy within the pasuk. On one hand, he's referred to as Yehudi, which means that he's from Shevet Yehuda. And meanwhile, Yemini indicates that he's from Shevet Binyamin. Which one is correct? So Rav Nachman says that Mordechai, crowned with Nimusa, Rashi says this is a Greek word, it describes the names. In other words, both his mother and his father's tribes are going to be prominent in his name. Normally, you're only ascribed to your father Shevet, but nevertheless, when it comes to Mordechai, because he was so special, so therefore he's going to be ascribed by both. Amar Rabba Bar Bachanan, Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Aviv mi Binyamin v'imo mi Yehuda. And the Gemara quotes B'Shem Rav Yeshua ben Levi that we know specifically that his father is from Shevet Binyamin, his mother's from Shevet Yehuda. V'Rabbanan, that is all but one approach in terms of why it is that both Shvatim are mentioned in the pasuk. The Gemara now goes and gives us a second approach. V'Rabbanan amrei mishpachos mitgaru zubazu. The Shvatim are actually arguing with one another. Mishpacha Yehuda omers anagarim demisyale Mordechai. We are the cause of the birth of Mordechai. Delo katle David l'shimei ben Gera, because we know that David did not kill Shimei ben Gera. This obviously goes back years earlier. Shimei ben Gera cursed David HaMelech. He was a morid b'machus. Certainly, David HaMelech had the right to kill Shimei ben Gera, and meanwhile, he exercised self-control. He did not. And so, Mordechai is a descendant of Shimei ben Gera. So, therefore, Yehuda is taking the credit for the birth of Mordechai based on the self-discipline that was maintained by David HaMelech. Mishpachas Binyamin, Haya Amra Minai Kaasa. And Mishpachas Binyamin said that they come from us, meaning Mordechai comes from us. And of course, genealogically, he does in fact come from Binyamin. Rava Amar Knes Yisrael Amar Leidach Yisa. Now Rava gives a different spin on the drasha, meaning it's essentially the same basic idea that the Shvatim are arguing, but here the exact opposite direction. Ru'u ma'asa li Yehuda mashilem li yimini. So here, it is Shevet Yehuda who's basically saying, look what happened. Look what happened to Yehudi, and look how Yemini, meaning Shevet Binyamin, look how they repaid me. Ma'asal Yehudi. And over here, what did Yehuda do? Meaning, what did Shevet Yehuda do? The lokale David l'shimi. Meaning, Shevet Yehuda, which is obviously David HaMelech, was responsible in not killing Shimi, and now The Gemara is saying that is a negative, meaning you should have killed Shimei had Shimei never been born. So then Mordechai never, sorry, had Shimei not been killed, then Mordechai never would have been born. Now, why is that a bad thing? Meaning, because Rava over here is given the opposite interpretation. Meaning for Rava, if the Shvatim are now upset that there is such a person like Mordechai. Why? So the Gemara goes on to explain. Because what Mordechai did is he incited Haman. And at the same time, Yehuda looks to Sheva Binyamin and says, look, it's really your fault, because had Shaul done what he was supposed to do, which was annihilate all of Amalek when he had the opportunity, and meanwhile he let Agag live a little bit longer. So as a result of that, Agag then was able to procreate. And eventually Haman is a descendant of Agag, and eventually that is a significant enemy to the Jewish people. So here in this version of Yemini Yehudi, so again, it's the same basic idea, but just going in the opposite direction, in that both of the Shvatim were not happy in taking credit for Mordechai, but blaming one another that there is such an individual as Mordechai, or conversely, that there is an entity of Haman. Rav Yochanan Amar La'olami Binyamin Ka'asi, the Gemara now is going to be giving a third approach, and that is, in truth, Mordechai comes from Sheva Binyamin, Va'amai Kari LeYehudi, and why is he described as Yehudi? Because Al Shum She Kafir B'Avodah Zarah, he was a denier of idolatry. She called a kofir B'Avodah Zarah Nikra Yehudi. Anyone who denies Avodah Zarah, the name gets branded with Yehudi. K'dichsiv, the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, Aisai Guvran Yehudai. So over here in this Pasuk in Daniel, the third parak, so a description of Hanani, Mishael, V'Azariah, who were deniers of Avodah Zarah, and you see that they were described as Yehudai. As long as the Gemara quoted this concept that anyone who denies Avodah Zarah is in fact going to be Yehudai, the Gemara quotes another drasha, Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, ki hava pasuk b'divrei hayamim amarachi. Shimon ben Pazi, when introducing divrei hayamim, so he would start off as follows, called v'recha echadheim v'anu yodim l'darshan. You're going to be seeing a lot of names, but the truth of the matter is it's really describing one person, and we know how to darshan it. Explanation comes as follows. V'ishto ha-Yehudi, so here I assume this is just but one of numerous examples. This is in the fourth parak of Divrei Hayamim, V'ishto ha-Yehudiya. So his Jewish wife, this is a description of Kalev ben Yefuna, as we'll describe in a moment. So Yaldas Yared Avi Gedor, V'eschever Avi Shocho, or Socho, V'esikusil Avi Zanoach, V'eil b'nei Bisya Baspara Asher Lakach Mered. Okay, so a description of what seems to be a lot of different children, but as the Gemara is about to point out, it's not. So Amai Kari Le'Yehudiya. So first of all, what we're describing over here is this Jewish woman. This Jewish woman is none other than the daughter of Paro. She's what we call Bisya. In the Navi, the proper pronunciation is Bisya. More popularly, we call her Basya. But regardless, so she's called Yehudia in that pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. Why? Al shem shekafer b'avodah zarah. Oh, because she denied the avodah zarah, meaning any denier of avodah zarah is described as a Yehudi. Okay, so that. And the truth of the matter is that's the only reason why it comes up over here. But as long as we're darshaning this pasuk, the Gemara is going to conclude. This Gemara we saw back in Sota. We're seeing it again over here. She goes and she bathes by the river. She's not bathing by the river, but rather she's toveling in a mikvah, i.e. she is converting to Yiddishkeit. Yalda v'haribui ribise. Now, it says that she gave birth to Moshe. She didn't give birth to Moshe. She raised Moshe. So, Lama Lachash, Shakal Magado, Yasum Yisama Bezoch Beso, Mala Alavakasav Ki Ilo Yalado. Good. So, the principle is that when you raise someone in your house, it says if you gave birth to them. Yered Zemoshe. Now, the Yered is actually a reference to Moshe, Velamani Kroshmo Yered, Shiyarad Lamli Yisrael Man Biyamam, because as a result of Moshe, the man came down. That's the Yerida, the coming down. Gedor Shakadar Prince of Shay Yisrael. And the word Gedor, because what he did is he closed in all the breaches. And the way Rashi describes it is that, no, I'm sorry, not Rashi, but other Mefarshim describe it, is that as a result of Moshe, so we were given the Torah, and a lot of our behaviors were corrected. Chever Shechiber Yisrael La'avin Shebashamayim, the word Chever, the fact that, that Moshe was able to unite the Jewish people and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Socho Shanasa Lam Yisrael B'Kesukah, he was protective like a sukkah. Presumably what the Gemara here is making reference to is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry with the Jewish people, so Moshe was able to protect. And you can see Shekiva Yisrael El Biyamav, and you can see from the word Kaveh, which means to have hope. And he basically had the Jewish people having hope in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Zanoch She Hizniach Avanasem She Yisrael. Zanoch means to throw away, to cast off. And he was able to cast off the sins of the Jewish people. Now that we know that this pasuk in Divrei Hayamim is a reference to Moshe and only Moshe, so it says Avi. So Avi, 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 it says it actually three times. Avi B'Torah, Moshe was a leader in Torah, and Av B'Chachma, he was a leader in wisdom, and Av B'Nevius, and he was a leader in Nevuah as well. Ve'ela B'nei Bisya, Asher Lakach Mered. Now who married Bisya? So the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim that we just quoted describes Mered being the husband of Bisya. V'chi Mered Shmo V'alo Kalev Shmo. The Gemara says, now we know that Kalev, in fact, married Bisya. So why would the pasuk describe him as being married? Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Yavo Kalev Shemar Be'atzos Meraglim V'yisa Es Bas Paro Shemar Da'Bigilui Beis Aviyah. So the Gemara says married over here because he rebelled. He meaning Kalev, rebelled against the Meraglim, and he was not enticed, he was not induced to follow the lead of the Meraglim and how they described Eretz Yisrael. And just like he repudiated, so too Bas Paro also repudiated. And so therefore they had a lot in common, so it was a good shidduch. Continuing in the Gemara, we're going back to the Megillah. So we are in the second parak of the Megillah, Darshan the Psukim, and we are still describing now Mordechai Asher Hagla Mirushalayim. So he was exiled. Amar Rav Shekala Miatzmo. Rav's description over here of the Pasuk, understanding the Pasuk, is that not that he was sent to exile, but rather he exiled himself. And he raised Hadassah. So Kari Le Hadassah, Vakari Le Esther. Now, you'll note, of course, in the Megillah that she's described both with the name Esther and the name Hadassah. Tanya Rabbi Meir Omer Esther Shma. Truth of the matter is her name is Esther. V'lamanikvar Shma Hadassah. Al-Shem Sadikim Shnikra Hadassim. Sadikim are described as Hadassim. V'chenu Omer V'huomeid Bein HaHadassim. Gemara quotes a pasuk in Zechariah describing Hadassim. If you look in the pasuk in context, you'll see it's describing people who are presumably tzaddikim. And so Esther is a tzaddikis, therefore she's also called Hadassah. Rav Yehuda Amar Hadassah Shma. Rav Yehuda goes in the other direction. Really, her name is Hadassah. V'lam nikra Shma Esther, and why was she called Esther? Al-Shem Shahitha Ma'steres Divareha. Because she was really good at concealing, meaning she didn't give away her identity. Shenemar Ein Esther Magadah Esama Ve'es Molata. Okay, and the pasuk says in Beferish that she didn't reveal her identity. Reb Nechemia Omer Hadassah Shma. Reb Nechemia is of the position that really her name is Hadassah. V'lam nikra Shma Esther. Shayu umas olam karin osa al shum istahar. Istahar is a description of the moon, just like the moon is beautiful, so too was Esther was beautiful. Benazar Amr Esther la ruchav alo kitzar aisa elabenin is kadasa. The Gemara gives another approach in terms of understanding the word Hadassah. Hadassah is of average height. Not perfectly clear what that means, relative to what, but regardless, the Gemara assumes that that Hadassah is an average height of branch. And similarly, Esther is of average, meaning she's not too tall, she's not too short. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha Omer, Esther Yakrokes Haisav Chut Shachas Mashuch Alaha. Another possibility of in terms of explaining why Esther is described as Hadassah, just like the Hadassah is green in complexion, Esther also is green in complexion. But nevertheless, she had Chut Shel Chesed. She had a certain chain about her, despite the fact that her complexion was a little bit discolored. Ki ain la avim, she didn't have a father and mother. Uvamos avia v'ima lamali. Gemara notes now that the pasuk is a little bit redundant, describing the fact that she is an orphan. It says it really on two occasions. So why? Amar avacha, ibrasa meis avia, yaldasa meis ima. So it's not that she was just an orphan, but an orphan at the first earliest opportunity, i.e. her father died immediately after conception, and her mother died immediately after birth. And in that regard, she is an orphan to the extreme. Uvamos avia v'ima v'lakcha Mordechai lo levas. Mordechai takes her in as a daughter. Tana mishum Rabbi Meir al tikra levas el abayis. Perhaps one of the more popular drushas that we're going to be seeing in today's daf, and that is Mordechai doesn't just simply take her in as a daughter, but rather as a wife. The word bas could also be understood as bayis. V'cheinu omer, the Gemara gives another example where we see the word bas is used in the context of a wife. This is in Shmuel. After David HaMelech makes the mistake with Bathsheba, so the Navi Nasan goes over to him, gives him a mashal, And in the Moshe, V'chino Amar, V'larash Ein, Kol Ki Im Kivsa Achas, Ketana, Asher Kana. As far as the poor man is concerned, the poor man is just simply part of the Moshe of Nasan and Avi. So all he had was just a little sheep. V'yechev tegedel imo v'im banav. And this sheep was v'im banav yachdav. And the sheep was raised in the house. Mipito techol mikoso tishteu v'cheko tishkav. Now this sheep ate from the bread, drank from the cup, was in, literally in his lap, v'tihilo kabas, like a daughter. So mishum de b'cheko tishkav havalei kabas. Now the Gemara notes that that's a little bit strange, meaning that she was in his lap and like a daughter. So ela kabai. So no, it means like a, rather like a wife. So you see that the Navi over there uses the word bas, but it's clearly referring to a wife. Similarly over here, achanam elabai, same thing over here in terms of the relationship between Mordechai and Esther. The ace shevahana aros. Now the Megillah goes on to describe, this is now already the ninth pasuk of the second parak, that Esther had seven attendants. Amarav shaisa mona behem yemei shabbos. So seven attendants, one for every day of the week. And Mefarshim give different explanations in terms of why it was necessary for her to have seven different attendants for 7 days of the week. We're going to continue. Vishaneha, the es na'aroseha. And the Gemara goes on to describe what is seemingly a difficult pasuk to translate. And that is that she had something special or different done for her. So what exactly was that? Amrav she'achila ma'achel yudi. So Rav says that she was given Jewish food, otherwise known as kosher food. Shmuel amar she'achila kadlei dechazire. Shmuel's of the position that she was given pork. Now, that, of course, is a difficult shot. Rashi actually writes over here that she was given the pork, and in fact, she even ate the pork. But she was an onsa, says Rashi, and so as a result of that, she was not punished. Tosfos over here cannot even entertain the idea that she actually ate the pork. Certainly unclear, according to Tosfos, then what's the point of Shmuel? Rav Yochanan Amar, back to the Gemara, Rav Yochanan Amar Zeronim. Rav Yochanan says that she ate seeds. She became basically a vegan. V'chein omer, v'nosein, sorry, v'hi amaltzar noseis pas, bagam v'nosein lahem Zeronim. And so we have a pasuk describing Daniel, Hananya, Mishael, Azariah, also becoming vegans as a result of the fact that they couldn't find any kosher food to eat in the palace of Nebuchadnezzar. Shisha Chareshim B'Shem and Amor. We're going back to the Megillah, and here we are still in the second paragraph. This is Pasuk Yud Beis. The one-year regiment that each of the women would be going through before meeting with Achashverosh, so 6 months, they would be doing a regiment of Shem and Amor, a kind of oil. So my Shem and Amor, Rabbi Chia Bar Abba Amar, Satacht. So one pshat is that Satacht, it's a specific type of oil. Whatever it may be. Rav Huna, Amar Shemen Zayi Shlo Evishlish. According to Rav Huna, it's oil that comes from an olive, otherwise known as olive oil, but the olives themselves were really young and immature. They haven't even reached a third of its growth. Tanya will learn from the Braisa, Rabbi Huda Omer, An Paknin Shemen Zayi Shlo Evishlish. So as far as Am Paknin, so we're going to see that in a Mishnah in Menachos, the description of a kind of oil. So it's oil coming from olives that have not yet matured. Now, why is this oil put on the body? Removes hair, and it basically creates a healthy and young looking skin. Again, now going to the psukim in the Megillah. This already is the 14th pasuk of the second parak. So each of the women would go in and towards the evening. And in the morning, they would leave the king. Am Rav Yochanan Mignusa shall also Rasha Lamana Shevcho shalo hayam Meshamish mitaso b'yom. Gemara says, look, we're going to obviously have a lot of criticism and a lot of bad things to say regarding Achashverosh, but at least right now, we're able to say one positive thing, and that is that his modesty, and that he was with the women during the night, that is the modest time to be with a woman. V'ati Esther no says chayin. Esther found favor. Every nation that saw Esther thinks that she was native to their particular nation. She had a certain multicultural look about her, and all the nations were therefore taking credit for her. The Megillah goes on to describe in which month it is that she was with Achashverosh for that first time, and it was the month of Teves, and the Gemara now is going to point out the significance of why the Megillah is giving us this information. Teves is obviously in the middle of the winter, so that is a time where Achashverosh is going to be really enjoying being warm because of the cold weather that's outside. Rav over here gives us a really extraordinarily intimate detail regarding the intimacy that existed between Achashverosh and Esther. And so for right now, I'll just suffice to say that Achashverosh was able to experience different types of pleasures with Esther. I'll leave it at that. The king made a major party, and what basically the Gemara is going to try to explain to us is that after Esther was selected, so Achashverosh did a number of what seems to be unusual things. So number one, he made a major party, and the Gemara's understanding over here is that all these activities that he did after selecting Esther was basically to get Esther to induce Esther to identify from which nation she was from, because she would not give up that information. And the Gemara goes on to explain, so the first thing that Achashverosh did is he made a major party, which again, you'll read about in the end of the second parak, and she wasn't ready to reveal. So what he did is he lifted taxes, and still, and he gave Esther credit for doing so, and still she wouldn't reveal her identity, and also gifts were sent out. Again, all these things are mentioned in the pasuk itself. The pasuk reads, so all three things that we just described are actually in the pasuk, but in the pasuk it doesn't explain why he did all these activities. And our Gemara just gave us a svara in terms of why he did all that, to try to induce her to reveal her identity. And again, the whole point is that she refused to do so. We are on Yigimah Manaf. We are towards the bottom of the Amud of Ikabetz Besulo Shenis. And so now we're at the end of the second parak and a really strange episode in which Achashverosh now brings in more virgins. So Azar Shakal ate some with Mordechai. So what he did is he received advice from Mordechai. And in other words, Achashverosh really wanted to her to reveal her identity. He didn't know what to do. So he turned to Mordechai. Mordechai seems to have been an advisor to Achashverosh. So Mordechai says that as far as a woman is concerned, so she's going to become jealous by other women. And so Achashverosh, based on the advice given to him by Mordechai, therefore invited more women in on the hopes that Esther would reveal her identity. Still, it didn't work. In fact, the end of the second parak, or towards the end of the second parak, it repeats that Esther refused to give up her identity. Needless to say, it's really strange that Mordechai would be giving Achashverosh this kind of advice. If anything, it sounds like Mordechai is trying to upset the what seems to be the plan that Esther should be in the palace. Okay, so obviously there needs to be more explanation in the Gemara over here, better clarification of what exactly the plans were. What was the strategy that Mordechai was trying to employ at this point in time? So I'm just acknowledging that the Gemara over here is certainly giving us some of the information, but still, even with the Gemara, there's a lot that needs to be explained and uncovered. Okay, but for now, we're going to go on. Amar Reb Elazar my Dichsev. So for a moment now, we're going to take another quick tangent as we go to the top of the Amud Beis. Lo Yigara Mitzadik Einav. Kadosh Baruch Hu does not withhold the reward to that of a tzaddik. Because Rachel was such a tzanua, so ultimately Shaul descended from Rachel. Because of the tznius of Shaul, eventually Esther comes from that as well. So what tznius are we talking about regarding Rachel? So here the Gemara now is going to be telling us a story that we're all familiar with. Rashi brings it down in Chumash. as far as Yaakov speaking to Rachel, that he was the brother of her father. Now that's inaccurate. V'chi achi avuhu v'alo ben achos aviyahu. Now that, of course, is inaccurate. He was the son of Rivka, who in turn was the brother of Lavan. So what does he mean to say that when he says that he's Lavan's brother? Ela amala minsav ali. So the Gemara now gives us the back and forth, the background that gets us to this point in time. So Yaakov proposes to Rachel, amale in miu abba ramahu. So her response is, sure, love the idea. However, my father is a deceiver. And there's no way that you're going to be able to outmatch my father. And he says, no, I'm a match. I'm able to compete with him. Perhaps the Gemara over here, Yaakov is over here banking on the fact that he just competed with Esav and he just beat Esav, so to say. Okay. So Amrale Umishar Lisdukalis Guya Biramusa. And so she says to him, wait 1 second, you're a tzaddik, is that mutter? So I'm lay in. So Yaakov says, yeah, it's mutter. Based on a pasuk in Shmuel Beis. Im navar, I'm lay in. Im navar titabar, vi im ikesh titapal. So if a person is a good person, so you act correctly, properly with that person. If on the other hand, the person's crooked, so you can act accordingly. So I'm lay umay Ram Yusa. So her question now is, Yaakov asks Rachel, what do you think he's going to do? So Amrle Islay Achta de Kashishamina. She says, look, I have an older sister, Velo Minsvali Mikama, and he's not going to marry me off before the older sister. So Masar La Simanim. So in order to make sure that this wouldn't happen, so Yaakov now gives Rachel certain codes, secret codes that exist between the two of them. So therefore they can communicate, that would only be between the two of them. And if Lavan's going to try to pull anything off, so now Rachel is going to give the simanim to Yaakov, and Yaakov will now know that this is Rachel and not anyone else. Kimata Laila, however, when the night of the chasna came along, Amra Hashta Michsafi Achtai. At that point in time, Rachel is thinking now about the embarrassment in that Leah is in fact going to be taken by Lavan and brought to the chuppah. And Leah's not going to know the simanim, and she's going to be embarrassed. She'll be publicly embarrassed. Misartinu ni'alam. So Rachel says, at this point in time, I'm going to give her the simanim. V'hainu dechsi v'hi baboker v'hinei hi Leah. And it was the next morning, and it turns out that she was Leah. Mechla dad hashalav Leah hi. And until that point in time, he didn't know that she was Leah. Ela mitoch simanim shemasar Rachel Leah. And it's because the simanim were handed over from Rachel to Leah. Lahavayada ad hashta, and that's why Yaakov didn't know until the morning. So because of the modesty of Rachel, and by the way, what also needs more clarification is what exactly is the modesty? Meaning the modesty seemingly is not the giving over of the simanim, that's just simply to prevent the embarrassment. But what exactly is the modesty? So that needs a lot more clarification. The Gemara doesn't really say. The Gemara just assumes that we understand that there was modesty over there. Okay, and a number of suggestions can be made, but right now we're going to go on. As a result of that, Shaul came. Now, as far as the sneers of Shaul is concerned, Shmuel anointed Shaul to be the king, and Shaul didn't pass that information along. He didn't post it. He didn't tweet it. In other words, he was really private and modest about that. That's kind of self-evident in terms of the modesty. And Zachav v'yatsa mimenu Esther. And as a result of that, Esther now comes from him. And again, all this is relevant to our particular point that Esther herself was not ready to identify herself. She was very private. She was, we'll say in this context, she was very modest. V'amar Rav Elazar. Moments earlier, we quoted a pasuk in Iyov, so the Gemara now is just going to stay a little bit on the tangent in order to quote that pasuk and darshan the rest of that pasuk in Iyov. This is in the 36th parak of Iyov. Amar Rav Elazar kashakash baruch hu posek gedul al adam. When a person decides that a person is going to have a leadership position, posek levanov levnei vanav vasof kalador, so it's going to go on in the family. Shenemar vayashivem lanetzach vayigbauhu. Oh, so that's there's that pasuk in Iyov in parak lamed vav. V'imigista ato. Now, if the person becomes arrogant because of that position, Kadosh Baruch Hu will lower him. Shenemar v'im asurim bazikim. Okay. So the Gemara just went off on that short tangent just simply because it's a continuation of that pasuk in Eov. V'es ma'amah Mordechai Esther osa. Now, as far as the ma'amah Mordechai, the instructions of Mordechai, Esther did exactly that. What instructions are we making reference to over here? This is now towards the end of the second parak. So Esther made sure to keep the laws of Nida. So Amarava bar Lima, Shahisa omenes becheko shal Achashverosh v'tovelas v'yoshevus becheko shal Mordechai. So this Gemara certainly a lot to absorb, but the idea that Esther went back and forth between Achashverosh and Mordechai. She was with Achashverosh, she told them the mikvah, and she went to Mordechai. Okay. And obviously much to discuss in terms of the behavior of Esther and why exactly did she do that. And the also a subsequent discussion of how can she do that. Okay. There is a lot to discuss over here in terms of that particular issue. And again, for the daf purposes, we're going to go on, but just acknowledging that there really is obviously a lot that needs to be explained. So here now we are towards the end of the second paragraph of the Megillah and the assassination attempt on the life of the king. Two people introduced to us here for the first time in the Megillah, Bigson Viseresh. So they are so angry and upset with the king that they want to assassinate him. Amar Bechia Bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, Hikstev HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Adon Al Avadav. So this anger, what the Gemara is trying to understand is, what's the basis of this anger? And the first pshat that's given to us in the Gemara, that of Rav Yochanan, is that there is no cause of the anger. HaKadosh Baruch Hu manifested this anger over here because it's going to end up serving the Jewish people. It's going to end up saving the Jewish people. The Gemara goes on to explain. Lazarus Ritzon Tzadik, Umani Yosef. So the Gemara says, first of all, I'll give you another example where HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically causes anger. In other words, there's no real cause for the anger, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu does so in order to manifest, in order to serve a need. So we're going to go all the way back to Yosef, Shenemar Vishamitanu Nari Vri, when the Sarha Mashkim is taken out of jail and speaking to Paro, so he describes, you know, that there was this, there's Nar Ivri. So there was this young Jewish man that was in jail with us. So Avadim al Adonehem. I'm sorry. And the whole idea over here is that the whole reason why Paro got upset with the Sarha Mashkim and sent him down to jail is because Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to meet Yosef and eventually come back up and then report to Paro about Yosef. So all that was, all that anger, so to say, was just a manifest of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and only to serve the narrative and the plot that Yosef eventually is going to be taken out. Similarly, over here, Avadim al Adonehem, Lasos Neis Latzadik, Amanu Mordechai. So the same thing is true over here. So Dichsi Vayivada Hadavar LeMordechai. The matter was became known to Mordechai, meaning the fact that Bigson Viseresh now wants to assassinate the king. Why do they want to assassinate the king? Kadosh Baruch Hu just caused him to be so angry that they wanted to assassinate. But the whole reason why they do this is so that Mordechai would intervene, save, and eventually need to be paid back on that. Amar of Yochanan. The Gemara now goes over how did the matter become known to Mordechai? Bigson Viseresh ne Tarsim Havu. So they were Tarsians. They spoke in their native language. The day that this woman, meaning Esther, came into the palace, so we're not able to sleep anymore. Okay, certainly from the Gemara itself, not clear exactly why it is that they couldn't sleep anymore because of Esther coming into the palace. Rashi writes over here, Lorena Shena, so Rashi over here offers a pshat in that because he was with Esther so much and he was so thirsty that he demanded drinks all the time. And so presumably Bigson Viseresh were responsible for bringing the drinks, and basically they were working overtime, so to say. So their plan was very simple. We'll just simply we'll throw a little poison into his drink, and so that the king should die. Now, they knew that Mordechai was listening in on the conversation, but what they didn't know is that he spoke their language. So v'hayu yodim b'shivan lashon. In other words, Mordechai himself was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was able to speak 70 languages, one of them being Tarsim. So he understood exactly what they were saying. Amar lo v'alo ein mishmarti mishmarcha shava. Now, Bitzan and Sarah said to one another, the problem, of course, is that my post and your post are not the same. Amar lo ani yishmar mishmarti u'mishmartecha. So he says, look, I'm going to take my post and I'm going to take your post as well. And they did an investigation and it was found. Meaning, what did they investigate? So now that we know that basically they were not both at their posts, and so it was figured out that there was a assassination attempt. Shalonim su b'mishmartam. Okay. Achar ha-devarim ha-eile. We are now in the third parak of the Megillah. And so now, after these things. So every time you see the words achar ha-devarim, right, notice... back in Brachos, when going from Perek Chavav to Chav Beis, so also opens up with Akedas Yitzchak, with Achar Dvarim Ha'Eila, and so it's always open for darshaning, what exactly is the antecedent. So the Gemara over here goes on to say, Amarava Achar Shabar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Refu L'Maka, meaning, basically now, the Jews are going to be suffering annihilation, meaning the Perek Gimel, is the gzerah against the Jewish people to kill and wipe out all the Jewish people, but the refuah is already in place, meaning by virtue of the fact now that Mordechai saved the life of the king, so now we have a solution to the problem. And that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu happens. He's makdim the refuah to the makah. Am reish lakish and HaKadosh Baruch Hu makah. So es Yisrael ala im kein bor lehem refuah tchila. So first comes the refuah. Shenemar ke rafili Yisrael v'nigla avon Ephraim. So the first thing I do is I'm going to make a heel. In other words, I'll have the refuah, and then afterwards will come the makkah. Ava umos ha'olam enu kein, but when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is punishing the nations of the world, the other nations of the world, it does not work that way, but rather the opposite. Makkah osam va'achar kach borolam refuah. First the makkah, then afterwards the refuah. Shenemar v'nagaf Hashem es Mitzrayim, nagof v'rafo. Pasuk in Yishayahu. Va'ivaz be'inav l'shoch yad b'mordechai levado. Now, the pasuk goes on to describe that what Haman didn't want to do is he didn't want to just attack Mordechai by himself. And then the pasuk goes on to describe. In other words, I'm reading the pasuk first. Vayivaz b'einav l'shoch yad b'mordechai levado, ki yigidu lo es am Mordechai. Vayivakesh Haman l'shmidus kol ha-yehudim asher b'chol machus ha-chashverosh am Mordechai. So exactly who did Haman want to attack? So the Gemara gives us over here a progression. First, it was just Mordechai, Levasof, Ba'am Mordechai. Then it was, quote unquote, the nation of Mordechai, Benomana Rabbanim, but that's a reference to the Chachamim. And then Levasof, Bechol Ayudim. And then afterwards, Haman expanded his hatred and his interest in destroying all of the Jewish people. He built Pur Hua Gora. We'll do a little bit more in terms of this daf. So then what he did is that he made a lottery. Haman made a lottery to determine which month it is. He's going to annihilate all the Jews. Tana, Kemishanaf Alpura Bechodesh Adar. Lottery came out in the month of Adar. Samech Simcha Gedolah. He was so happy. Amala Nafali Pur B'Yerach Shemes B'Moshe. Now, same month that Moshe died. So he figured that this is going to be a month that has bad mazel for the Jewish people. So if Moshe died that month, so it must mean that this is an unlucky month for the Jewish people. So too, this is a good month, so to say, to wipe out and exterminate all the Jews. But what he didn't know is Shiva Ba'adar Meis, Shiva Ba'adar Nolad. Not only did Moshe die on the seventh day of Adar, but he was also born on the seventh day of Adar as well. Yeshno Am Echad. One more drasha. A little bit long, but one more drasha. Am Revelaka Diadalishna Bisho Kaman. No one knew how to speak Elashna Hara better than Haman. Am Raleita Nechlinu. Haman says to Achashverosh, okay, let's literally eat the Jewish people. Let's destroy the Jewish people. Achashverosh was a little bit hesitant. I'm afraid of their God. Look what he did to my predecessors. Probably making reference to Belshazzar. Amarlo yeshno. So the pasuk is yeshno amechad. And the Gemara now is darshaning the word yeshno. Yeshno in a mitzvah, they are sleeping on the mitzvahs. Meaning they're not doing the mitzvahs. And so therefore, you don't have to worry about their God. Amalei Yisbu Rabbanan, still Achasher says that they're at the Talmidei Chachamim. Amalei, Am Echad. The Am Echad is the, still, that's a quote of the Pasuk. So, hein, Shema Tamar Karchani Oseba Machusecha. And maybe if I take out the Jews, I'm going to make a bald spot, meaning that the Jews are one of the provinces, and then one of the provinces will be totally depleted of any population. Mifuzarin hein bein ha'amim. No, they're spread out over the nation. Shema Tamar Is Hana Minayu. Maybe you'll say that there's some sort of benefit from the Jews, and in other words, it's not economically smart to go ahead and wipe out all the Jews. Miforad kepredezushe noza peros. So the word miforad, the simple pshat is that they're all spread out, they're scattered. But the Gemara over here is darshaning. The word miforad is the same word as prayed a mule. So just like a mule is not able to produce, so too the Jewish people are just, they're not productive people. Vishematamar ika medinasa minayu. And maybe they make up a small province. So, they're all scattered about. Mikol Am, Mikol Am, and their laws are different than all others. The law, Achle Minan, they don't eat with us, Velo Nasbi Minan, they don't marry our women, Velo Nizba Lan, and they don't allow us to marry their women, Vestase Amelche Nam Musim, and they're not following our laws. Demafka Lakula Shasa Bishai Pai. And what they do the whole year is that instead of working, they say Shahi, which is obviously Rosh Hashanah, Shabbos Hayom, today Shabbos, or Pahi, Pesach Hayom, it's Yontif. In other words, all the time they're making excuses in terms of why they're not working. V'lamelech ein shaveh lahanicham. So, and there's no reason why you need to tolerate them. And the Gemara goes on to darshan, da'achlo v'shasu, mevazu le'lamachos, they eat, they drink, and they just make fun of the throne. If a fly falls into their wine, so they just take the fly out and they finish drinking the wine. However, but if you were to touch the cups of one of their wines, making it stam yenam, so they'll throw it on the ground and they're not going to drink it. Okay. And that, of course, is the Lashon Hara of Haman to Achashverosh in terms of why there really is no, there's no loss in killing all the Jews, and in fact, just the opposite, there's going to be a benefit. We'll pause over here. Tomorrow, we start with Im Al HaMelech Tov. Okay, and in terms of summarizing, it's difficult to have to summarize, but basically, we started at the beginning of the second paragraph of the Megillah in terms of Vajrashas with Ish Yehudi, and basically, we covered now the, the Gemara didn't darshan every pasuk, but a number of the pasukim in the second paragraph of the Megillah. The Gemara Darshan, basically going through the selection of Esther. Esther's refusal to identify which nation she's from. Achashverosh trying to induce her to identify. Still, she's refusing. It's an attribute of modesty. The Gemara goes on to describe on the top of Yigimel Midbeis, this modest behavior of hers is something that runs in the family. Goes back to her predecessors of Shaul and Rachel. The Gemara goes over the modesty of Rachel, the modesty of Shaul. Esther had that same midah as well. And then the rest of Yigim Lamed Beis, we continue with darshaning, and we concluded the second parak, and we even started the third parak of the Megillah. We introduced ourselves to Haman, and the lottery that he took, and we continue tomorrow darshaning, and we are going to be still in the middle of the third parak of the Megillah, beginning with tomorrow's daf.